In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, due to the Freemasonic influence of the 19th century, there was a great revolt against God. Atheist, so-called scholars, taught that only material things exist. There is no God, there is no heaven, there are no angels or devils. Science and reason was supreme. Religion and faith superfluous, and God was dead. The Blessed Virgin Mary penetrated the darkness of that age. She had no intention of letting this revolution go unchecked to the loss of souls of her children, especially in France, where this rationalism and atheism was so strong. On February 11, 1858, a poor, sickly, uneducated, pious, innocent girl of 14, Bernadette Soubirou, visited the grotto of Masubielle, and Our Lady appeared to her. The city of Lourdes has a rich Catholic heritage. It never wavered from the first conversion by the apostles. The faith of its citizens remained strong despite the persecutions of Roman emperors, the Vandals, Arians, Albigensians, the Protestant Revolution, and the French Revolution. The Catholics of Lourdes were noted for their deep devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lady's message at Lourdes was very simple. First, she taught us to correctly and devoutly make the sign of the cross. She encouraged the praying of the rosary daily by her example. She said to pray for the conversion of sinners. And then she said, told us of the need of penance, to be converted and do penance. For people had forgotten the words of her divine Son, "Unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish." The Blessed Virgin Mary told Saint Bernadette to wash with the water. And then she was going to the Gave River, and Our Lady said, "No, not there." And then a spring, until then invisible, gushed out of the ground. And since that time, it's been responsible for countless cures. A chapel was built. Prayers, hymns, solemn ceremonies have taken place with the evening torchlight rosary procession. And even though they're praying the rosary in so many different languages, when they sang the Lourdes Ave Maria, it showed the unity of all Catholics throughout the world. Our Lady's visit to Lourdes revived the faith of millions. She told St. Bernadette, "I do not promise you happiness in this world, but in the next." She had many opportunities to recall Our Lady's words. When she was questioned by church officials, curious pilgrims, a strict superior who thought that she needed humbling, and then during her suffering of tuberculosis when her body was racked with severe pain. On April 16, 1879, Saint Bernadette died. Her last words were, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, a poor sinner, a poor sinner." The apparitions of Our Lady at Lourdes faced formidable opposition. While the Blessed Virgin Mary was appearing in Lourdes, so the devil was also appearing with false apparitions. And then politicians of the area questioned and threatened Saint Bernadette and actually built a fence blocking off the grotto at Masubielle. There was the influence of the Freemasons, the Freethinkers, but it made no difference. Our Lady triumphed, and Napoleon III ordered the fence to be removed, and pilgrims have never ceased coming to Lourdes. On March 25th, St. Bernard asked the lady for her name, and twice she refused. And then at the third time, she held her hands together, folded, and said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." This was in 1858. The dogma had just been proclaimed by Pope Pius IX in 1854. And it fit in with Catholic doctrines of the fall of Adam and Eve, the incarnation, the redemption. In the beautiful statue of Our Lady in the Mas Ubiel, there was a crown circling her head with the words, "O Mary conceived without sin, I am the Immaculate Conception. I am the Immaculate Conception." Those words were removed after Vatican II. They're no longer there. Although Lourdes has a long history of bodily cures, even more wonderful are spiritual cures. Resignation to the holy will of God. I feel for some reason God has selected me to suffer. I look upon this cross as my ticket to heaven. And then shortly, as you know, the message of Our Lady of Fatima became popular, but some of it was by Franz Wurzel's book, The Song of Bernadette. It wasn't a coincidence. It prepared the way for people to have a deep devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. My dearly beloved in Christ, the healing waters of Lourdes have given health and strength to thousands of invalids. For more than 150 years, people have traveled from all over the world to bathe in the miraculous waters given by the Blessed Virgin Mary at Lourdes. Great and miraculous healings still continue to occur. And my mother herself told me that she had a really bad case of carpal tunnel, and she was there at Lourdes at the baths, and it was completely healed. Crutches, wheelchairs, hearing aids, braces, and prostheses that are no longer needed are on display at Lourdes. They are testimony to the healings that have occurred in the miraculous waters. We may aptly apply the words of Isaiah to this chosen sanctuary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf man be unstopped. There shall the lame man leap as a harp, and the tongue of the dumb shall be freed. For waters are broken out in the desert and streams in the wilderness. From Isaiah chapter 35. But how much more does Our Lady do for the infirm souls of those who have recourse to her? Is it not chiefly for those who are spiritually blind or deaf or weak that she raises her sinless hands in prayer? The fact of her having used the words, "Penance, penance, penance," to little Bernadette shows us that her maternal heart yearns for the conversion of poor sinners, those whose lukewarmness and love of sinful pleasure cause them to languish in the many diseases of the soul. Even if they have not yet completely turned against her Son and crucified him by mortal sin, those who on account of past sin feel the weakness which is left in their souls, those who are paralyzed in God's service by depression, those who are tempted and weary, almost ready to give up the struggle, to all these Our Lady tenderly stretches forth her hands in order to heal and strengthen. The Blessed Virgin Mary makes herself all to all, healing our infirmities of body and soul. She has compassion for our daily faults and failings. She upholds us in temptation so that our weakness shall not be overcome. Let us then go to her and cast our weakness on her strength, firm in the knowledge that this loving mother will show to us, as she has already shown to countless others, that she is truly the comforter of the afflicted and the strength of the weak. I'd like to close with a story. The case of Gabriel Gargam is one of the most known of all the thousands of cures at Lourdes. First, because it was both spiritual and a physical miracle, and second, because Gargum became well known at the shrine where he volunteered for half a century as a stretcher bearer in thanksgiving for God's mercy. Gabriel was born in 1870 of good Catholic parents, but by age 15 he had lost his faith. He took a job as a traveling mail clerk of the Orléans Railway Company. He was in his 30s, carrying out his duty as a sorter in December of 1899, when the train on which he was traveling from Bordeaux to Paris collided with another train traveling at 50 miles an hour. Gargum was thrown 52 feet from the train. He lay in the snow, badly injured and unconscious for 7 hours. He was paralyzed from the waist down. He was barely alive when lifted onto a stretcher. After 8 months, he had wasted away to a mere skeleton, weighing only 78 pounds. He could take no solid food and receive nourishment by a tube only once every 24 hours. He sued the railroad for damages. The appellate court confirmed the verdict of the former courts and granted him 6,000 francs annually, besides an indemnity of 60,000 francs. Two courts attested to his condition. The final payment of the railroad left the case of the matter a matter of public record. Doctors testified that the man was a hopeless cripple for life. Previous to the accident, Gabriel had not been to church for 15 years. His aunt, who was a nun of the Order of the Sacred Heart, begged him to go to Lourdes. He refused. After the continuous pleading of his mother, however, he consented to go. It was now 2 years since the accident, and he had never left his bed all that time. He was carried on a stretcher to the train. The exertion caused him to faint, and for a full hour he was unconscious. They were on the point of abandoning the pilgrimage, as it looked as if he would die in the way, but his mother insisted and the journey was made. They arrived in Lourdes at 7 a.m. on August 20th, 1901. That morning he had a remarkable spiritual conversion. He went to confession, received Holy Communion, but there was no change in his physical condition. In the afternoon of the same day, he was carried to the pool to be bathed in the water, but instead of relief, his condition worsened. The exertion threw him into a swoon, and he lay apparently dead. After a time, as he did not revive, he was thought to be dead. On the way back to the hotel, his mother, the nurse, and the men carrying Gabriel's stretcher saw a procession of the Blessed Sacrament approaching. They stood aside to let it pass, having placed a cloth over the face of the man whom they supposed to be dead. As a priest passed carrying the sacred host, he gave a blessing to the sorrowful group around the covered body. Immediately there was a movement from under the covering. To the amazement of the bystanders, the body raised itself to a sitting posture, and Gabriel said in a full, strong voice, "Help me, I can walk. I feel I can walk." These were the first words spoken since the accident. He got up and stood erect, walked a few paces, and said that he was cured. As Gabriel had only pajamas, he returned back to the hotel. There he was soon dressed and proceeded to walk about as if he had never been hurt. For 2 years, hardly any food had passed his lips. But now he sat down to a table and ate a hearty meal. On August 20th, 1901, 60 prominent doctors examined Gabriel. Speaking on behalf of the commission, Dr. Boisserie first noted the physical impossibility that the invalid could walk since he had no leg muscles after 20 months of total paralysis of both legs and no solid food. Gabriel again stood up and walked in front of them without difficulty. The doctors pronounced him entirely cured, but were unable to explain the nature of the cure. Gabriel, out of gratitude to God and the Holy Eucharist and Our Lady, consecrated himself to the service of the invalids at Lourdes. For over 50 years, he returned annually to Lourdes and worked as one who cared for the sick at the shrine. The Golden Jubilee of his cure was the occasion of a remarkable celebration during the French National Pilgrimage in 1951. Gabriel sat in a chair in the Rosary Square, surrounded by 1,500 sick and 50,000 other pilgrims, while a description of his twofold miracle was given by the celebrated apologist Canon Balanet. His last visit to the shrine was in August 1952. He died the following March at the age of 83. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.